stone was moved and he had gone away. The angel said, "Fear not, I know whom seek ye, but he is risen." This she heard him say.
Good to see you this morning. Amen. We're thankful that you are here. And Brother Ron mentioned, we talk about Easter Sunday and some of the Easter Sundays that we can remember when the house was full and all those kind of things. But, you know, when we come together, amen, as the preacher, I'm going to just preach to you. Amen, because you're the one that's here this morning. We'll send it out over the internet and others may hear, but if we preach the gospel, we've always got a message. But on Easter Sunday, if we preach an Easter message, we really get down to the core, to the heart of the matter. And this morning, I want to preach to you, and I just wrote down as a title this morning, Resurrection and Life. Resurrection and Life. And I want to read a verse to you, and then we're going to have a word of prayer. But in John chapter number 11, in the Gospel of John chapter 11 and verse number 25, Lazarus has died. Jesus had been sent for, but he didn't get there before Lazarus died and they buried him. And he's been in the tomb now for 4 days. But here in verse number 25, Jesus had a word for Mary and Martha. And he said in John 11 and 25, Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for this Sunday morning that we have, this Resurrection Sunday. And we pray that you just touch our hearts, that you would put your hand upon us and on us and help us to be an able minister of the Word of God. And Father, that you would touch our hearts this morning, each and every heart, each and every need. And Father, speak that we need to hear this morning, I pray. And Father, just work in our hearts and lives to touch us, to draw us, to encourage us, I pray, and help us in every way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. We know what resurrection means. It is a rising again. Chiefly it's spoken of about the reviving of a person that was dead and bringing them back to life. And so we see the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. And he said, and the life. Well, we know what life is in man, the state of being which our soul and our body is united, and we are able to move about and to go about. We are alive. Amen. We are alive. And so what a statement that Jesus made here when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And this is the message. This is the message of Easter. Jesus was telling them here at this time of Lazarus' death that I am the author or the cause of the resurrection. And it so depends on my power. Jesus was telling him, it was by his power and his will that men could be resurrection. What he was saying, I am the very resurrection itself. And so this is a most expressive way of saying that the whole doctrine of resurrection came from God and from Christ. This whole thing about resurrection and the whole power to effect the resurrection, amen, is a power that came from God. Amen. The power of God to effect the resurrection, to bring men back from the dead. Now, here's Lazarus. He's died and he's in the tomb. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he's telling them that this power is with me. It's with God. And so the first thing I want us to see this morning, I want to read some verses and just let us see some verses throughout Scripture that demonstrate to us the power of God and of Christ as it concerns these things. In 1 Kings chapter number 17 and verse 21 and 22, there was a widow whose son had died, and here she is called upon Elijah. And it says in verse 21, and he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Now here's Elijah, the prophet, and he's praying, but he's asking God. He's not making any moan. He knows that I'm not about to perform this miracle. He's praying. And he asked God, he said, I'm asking you to revive this child. I'm asking you, God, to let the child's soul come into him again. You know what Ecclesiastes tells us? It tells us that when we die, amen, these old bodies die and it goes back to the dust, but where does the spirit go? Amen, it goes back into God who what? Who gave it. Guess where this boy's spirit went? His soul went. Guess who had it? God did. It went back. And so what's Elijah doing? He's praying and he's asking God, who has the very power of resurrection, to restore this child. And amen. And it says, and the soul of the child came into him again and he revived. He revived. Now, For the sake of time, we won't read all the places, but in 2 Kings chapter 4, you can see a very similar incident takes place with Elisha, who took up the mantle of Elijah as he raised the Shulamite's son from death as well. And so we see these examples in the Old Testament of men being resurrected, brought from death unto life. Now, one of my favorites, and one reason is because I can just picture it. And that is, Elisha has died and they have buried Elisha. They've put him in the grave, in the tomb. And there's another man that has died. Elisha's done been dead a while. You know, he's nothing but just bones down there. And another man has died and they're carrying him away. And here comes the enemy. And in haste, they have to try to find a place to put him, you know, so they can hurry and get on back. And so they just throw him into the tomb with Elisha. And when he hits Elisha's bones, amen, he set up. He come back to life. Amen. God resurrected him. Amen. And what I could just picture is them old boys, boy, they'd throw him in the hole and they turn around and they head back home. And the next thing they know, they look and somebody's catching up to them and they look back and it's the one that they done throwed in the hole. What a sight that must have been. Resurrection. He's alive. Did we not just bury him? But he's alive. And so what affects this in the Old Testament, it was the power of God. In the New Testament, we see some things. And we know that in Mark chapter 4, we won't read there, but we know that Jesus spoke and he rebuked the wind and the sea. And they feared because they said of Jesus, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? He speaks and it calms. Whatever he tells it to do, it obeys. But in Luke chapter 7, we see in verse number 12, Luke chapter 7, verse number 12, "Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, the coffin, and they that bare him stood still." And then Jesus speaking, and he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. Amen. Jesus said, "Weep not. Weep not." And he spoke to the young man and he said, "Arise." Just as he did with Lazarus, he called him by name and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And amen, he came forth. Why? Because he has the power of resurrection. He is the very resurrection itself. One more example in Acts chapter 9. In verse 37 of that chapter, there's a lady named Tabitha. And in verse 37, it tells us that she died. In verse number 40, it said, "But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up." This is God's record of these events. Old Testament, New Testament. It is the power of God. It speaks to the very fact of what Jesus says here to Martha, that in the verse that we read, that "I am the very resurrection and life." And so the question this morning is, do we believe the Bible or do we not? Do we believe what God says or do we not? And this is a great question on Easter Sunday morning. Do we believe what God had to say, or are we going to trust in something else? Are we going to trust in the way we think it should be, or the way that we perceive it to be? Are we going to take God and just believe that it is exactly like God said? And Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and life. I am." And so we see in that, we look at those verses and we see the power of God and of Christ. But secondly, I want us to notice and know that Jesus is the very source of life. The very source of life, Jesus is. Without Jesus, there is no life. There is physical, spiritual, there is nothing but death. This place is still without form, it's still void and dark. But amen, listen to what he says in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If you look on down in verse 14, it tells you about the Word. It was what? It was made flesh. Who are they talking about? They're talking about Jesus. They're talking about Jesus. And here in these verses that we read, John has affirmed in verse number 3, where he says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Talking about Jesus. He's made all of these things. They made the world, and one part of that creation consisted of this, and that is the breathing into man, the breath of life in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7. Because that's what Jesus did, and He breathed into man the breath of life. And so God is declared to be life, or the living God, because He's the source, He's the fountainhead of life. And here in these verses, what it's telling us in this first chapter of John, it's letting us know who Jesus is, that Jesus is the very God, that He is the Emmanuel, He is God with us. And I know that's hard for us to understand and preachers to explain, but amen, that Jesus is God and yet they are one, but amen, but He is. He is. And so Jesus is the very God Himself, and He's declared to be the very life. He is the agent by which, amen, you know, we talk about plants and vegetables that grow. Amen. Why do they grow? Well, because they're alive. They have life. I have to be careful because I plant one, it'll die. Amen. My granddaddy could plant one and it'd grow. Listen, my granddaddy, he could take one plant, one didn't have no roots, and he could make it root and grow. But amen, it's got life. Where did that life come from? Amen, it came from God. Amen, we look about us and we see, amen, all the life that's about in this world teeming around. If you kick over some leaves out there in your yard, you're liable to see any kind of bug and all kind of bugs. Creepy crawling things that crawl and go. And you might go through the woods and see rabbits and squirrels and deer and all these. And we may have pets, cats and dogs. And they live. Amen. Why? Because God created them with life to live. But into man it said that He breathed the very breath of life. He made man a living soul. And He endowed man with immortality. That we are made in the likeness and the image of God. And amen, and here's the thing. There is some wicked people and some wickedness that goes on in this world. And some folks say, why in the world would you even bother with them? Amen, it's because that, amen, God, amen, had made them in His image. And yes, they have marred it. Yes, they have trampled it. But amen, God said to go into all the nation and preach the gospel. But He breathed into man and He made man a living soul. And amen, God went on more than that, because what happened to man is man came into this old world and it didn't take long and sin entered into the world. And when sin entered into the world, what happened? Death. Death by sin. And man was separated from God immediately upon man's sin. What did Adam and Eve do? They went and they hid from God. They hid. They heard God coming and they didn't want to face God. Many times in our life we hear God coming and we go and hide because we don't want to face God. But God had a plan. God made it possible for the salvation of man. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so the salvation of man is sometimes compared to the very first of creation, as the Word was the very source of life. In a higher sense, we see the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That God speaks and men hear. And in Ephesians 2 and 1 it says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Amen. Why? Because the Word of God. Because God has spoken. Amen. If we believe the Word of God, that Word works. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing asunder. And God speaks. And amen. And He breathes life, eternal life into mankind. The verse 5 there of those verses that we read in John 1, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Now this word here, "comprehended it not," it means a great deal more than that they didn't understand it. It goes way beyond that, because here's the thing. They understood what Jesus was saying, what He was claiming. Therefore, they said, "Crucify." Because they understood. Well, they said, "He speaks blasphemy. He makes Himself equal to God." And guess what? If a man spoke and said he was equal to God, the only way that wouldn't be blasphemy is if he was God. But Jesus, guess who He was? He was God in the flesh. He was Emmanuel. He was God's only Son. Amen. Came into this world. He was exactly who He said He was. But the scribes and the Pharisees, amen, they wouldn't believe Him. So, amen, they didn't have no other choice. If they wasn't going to believe Him, they had to say He's lying. He's a counterfeit. And so they said, "Crucify Him." So they understood His message, but here's what they wouldn't do. They would not receive the Word of God. They would not receive His words. They would not receive Christ. They said, "We don't believe You." And so they would not receive those things that He said. But here's the other thing. While they would not receive Him, and this is why we have Easter, they could not overcome Him. They could not overcome Him. They tried. They crucified Him. And if you'll find in the book of Matthew, I think it's Matthew chapter 27, after Jesus has hung on a cross and after He has died, they come to the rulers there and they tell them, come to Pilate and they say, "We remember what this Jesus said, what this man said. That on the third day, He's going to rise again." And so what they wanted, they said, "We're trying to prevent that. We don't want His disciples to sneak in here by night and steal Him away and then say, He's alive, He's risen from the grave. We don't want that to be a possibility." So Pilate said, "I tell you what you do. You go and you make that grave as sure as you can. You secure it." And they did. Boy, they went and set a watch. A lot of things might be going to happen, but amen, Jesus wasn't leaving. Wasn't nobody coming to steal Him away. They was going to make sure of that. But amen, on the third day, as it began to dawn toward morning, something happened. And though they wouldn't receive His Word, amen, they didn't comprehend it, amen, they wouldn't receive it, but amen, at the same time, they couldn't overcome it because they tried, amen. Somebody said Pilate couldn't kill Him, amen, death couldn't handle Him, and the grave couldn't hold Him. And on day 3, He arose just like He said, though man tried everything that they possibly could to keep that from happening. But on the third day, Jesus came forth from the grave. They tried. Make it as sure as you can. Amen. They had to go back and report, "Well, listen, we tried, but here's what happened." They paid them some money and they said, "Listen, here's the story you tell them." And, well, that put them in a bad, "Well, what's going to happen? We'll make sure that everything's well. You don't have, we'll cover everything. You just tell them that you fell asleep, and while you were sleeping, they came and stole Him away." They've tried. But see, Jesus was seen of the 12. He was seen on several occasions. The Bible says that He proved Himself to be alive by many infallible proofs. He's alive. Jesus is. He is alive. The Bible tells us that He's seated at the right hand of the Father. So we see here when He said, "I am the resurrection and the life," we see that the power of God. And then we look and see that Jesus is the very source of life itself. But the last thing that I want us to see this morning is that Jesus is the hope of Easter. He is the hope of Easter. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, in verse number 12, Paul said, "Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. For since man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Jesus is the very hope of Easter. He told Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life." Paul here deals with the question of the resurrection. Is there a resurrection? Is there life after death? Is man going to live? There were some that said that there is no resurrection. There's a lot of folks today that say, "This is it. This is all it is. This life's it. When it's over and it's done with, it's done." But you know what? When we begin to think about that thing, it really, to us, it don't even make a lot of sense that that could actually, that something about that just don't seem right. Because you could take some of the wickedest men in this world, and we could name a few, but we won't. But I mean, you just think about some of the men that's been some of the wickedest men in history. And boy, they've lived just wicked all of their lives, and they've enjoyed things, and boy, they ain't done nothing but brought destruction and death everywhere they went. But they have fared okay, right up until the very end when they were caught, when things happened, when things changed. And some of them killed themselves. Some of them were executed very rapidly once found, and they died. That's it. They commit all the injustices for all their lives for 30, 40, 50, 60 years. Amen. They lived as wicked men, boy, as kings in this world and had everything. And then in a moment they die and it's all over. Is there any justice in that? There's not. There's not any justice in that. But see, the thing of it is, if there's a resurrection, and this is what Paul was telling them here. He said, if there's a resurrection, and you know what Paul preached? Paul preached the resurrection. He preached that Jesus was alive. Amen. He preached that Jesus had, on the third day, that He had rose from the grave. And he said, but there's some among you that say that there is no resurrection. And if there is no resurrection, then you mean Christ didn't rise. And so he goes on and begins to tell them, well, if Christ is dead, guess my preaching is vain. And he said, your faith to the Corinthian church, he said, if Christ is not alive, your faith is vain. It don't mean anything. If Jesus is dead, your faith means absolutely nothing. And all of my preaching means absolutely nothing. Everything that I've done in my life, he said, matters nothing. But then he gets down, and really what I want us to, the verse here, as we zero in on verse 19, and I want you to listen to verse 19. He says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You know what, for the Christian, what are the object of our life is? It's our hope that we have in Christ Jesus. It's not the fact that, amen, we're striving to build a bigger house. Amen, that we're trying to load up the bank account so that we can collect as much of this world's goods as we can. Amen, that's not supposed to be our purpose. That's not our goal. That's not what we're looking for. Amen, it's not trying to make a big name for ourselves in this world. Amen, all of these things God warns us about and says, amen, don't worship those things. Don't follow after those things. And Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. What did Paul have? Boy, he preached the gospel. We preached this the other day. Amen. Paul at Lystra, they stoned him. Amen. Left him for dead. And he gets up, and where does he wind up going back to? Right back to the place where they stoned him. What's he doing? He's trying to tell them about Jesus. He's trying to tell them about one that rose from the dead. Paul was shipwrecked. Paul knew, he said, I know what it is to be hungry. I know what it is to have want. He knew what it was to be beaten, to be whipped, and to have the stripes of men placed upon his back. That was his life. He said that he counted all things lost that he might win Christ. For Christ's sake, he took all the things of this world and he said, they mean nothing to me anymore. The only thing that matters is Jesus Christ and him crucified and rose again. And he lived his life that way. But see, here's the thing. Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. Because Paul said, that's it. The best that I could ever hope for, because I preach Jesus, is to get dragged out of the city and to get stoned or to get beat or to go hungry or to be cold or to have nothing and just try to make it through this life with meager fare. He said, I better enjoy that, because if Jesus is not alive, it won't ever get any better than that. That's the best it'll ever be. If Christ be not risen. But listen, there's another side to that story. The very thing that Paul said and he spoke to them about, amen, could be said this morning for all other religions in the world. Because men follow Allah and Muhammad. And amen, that's all Allah. Well, that's just God. No, he's not the God of the Bible. Not the God of the Bible. They speak of Muhammad and Buddha or Joseph Smith or some of those folks along those lines, those leaders. But you know what? You know where you can find them this morning? You can find them in the graveyard. They're dead. They're all dead. What did Paul say about being dead? Paul said, if Jesus is dead, he said, this religion is in vain. Amen. If though other religious leaders, amen, if you're following them, if that's what people's put their trust in and they're dead, you know what that religion is? It's in vain. It means whatever they can enjoy in this life, you better enjoy it, because when this life ends, it's over. Because the Bible says then what happens? Then judgment comes. You see, we spoke of those evil and those wicked men that, boy, they lived all their life in pleasure, making other folks' life torment, and then they die. And if there's no resurrection, boy, it's just all over. But see, we also mentioned back earlier, the Bible says that when this old body, when this spirit leaves, that it goes back to God who gave it. You see, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he gave life to mankind. He gave it to me and to you, and He gave it to all those. Amen. Even in this world, we wonder, why is there so much wickedness in this world? Amen. It's because man has rejected God. Amen. It's not God's fault. Did God know that evil could happen? Amen. Well, you know, the reality is this. If there was going to be a possibility for me and you to love God, there also had to be a possibility that we hated God. If there was not a possibility that men would turn away from God, how could it be a possibility that men would love God? We make things that act and do everything, but we call them robots, you know. And I hear they make some pretty good ones these days. They'll follow your command, boy, right to the, you know, right to the letter. But see, God didn't make us as robots. God made us in His likeness and in His image. And yes, man has failed and man has gone astray and sin has entered in. But if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. And while every other religious leader that you want to name this morning, you could find him in a graveyard. Listen to this as we try to close this morning. In verse number 20, immediately after Paul got finished saying what he did about if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're all men most miserable. In verse 20, he said, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. By what man did that happen? It was by Jesus. By Jesus Christ came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. The resurrection. I went to a funeral yesterday of a godly man that lived 80-something years on this life. And amen, he had a testimony. I mean, he believed God, trusted God. They gathered up and they had the funeral, and there was sorrow and there was tears. But I tell you what, it wasn't. Paul said that we don't sorrow as other men sorrow, which have what? Which have no hope. Because if you know Jesus this morning, we have a hope. Why do you have a hope? Because Jesus is alive. Because He's not dead. Amen. He's alive. And amen, He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And guess what that means? They're still alive. Amen. And if they're still alive, everybody, He said here that everybody that dies that's in Christ, they shall live. So I ask you this morning, are you in Christ? Do you know Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life? And though these old physical bodies may have to one day lay down in death, boy, that's not the end, because we know Jesus. And we know He's going to resurrect us. And He's going to call us forth. And we're going to live with Him forever. I am the resurrection and the life. Pray this morning if you have a need while we stand. As we sing this morning, if you have a need, you come while we wait this morning.